Radio.
The Law and Religious Freedom. A talk by Rocky Nemo at Reasons for Hope 2013, held at Gerringong in New South Wales.
Your Grace, Reverend Father and Reverend Brother and fellow speakers, and to all of you participants, thank you very much for having me here. I just need to say a couple of things about the Ambrose Centre for a start. We are not a religious organisation. We're a lay organisation involved in the social order. We involve ourselves in matters of human rights and the fundamental question, of course, of religious liberty. Now, where does the authority come from to propagate and to promote the idea that religious liberty is a very real issue, particularly today, as we see our cultural values diminishing? And diminishing at a very, very rapid rate, might I say. Well, obviously, the first part is that the religious liberty authority comes from what we call human rights instruments around the world. The Universal Declaration of Human Rights says one thing right at the very beginning, that everybody is born free and equal in dignity and rights. And then it goes on to talk about the absolute and fundamental right of people to have freedom in thought, conscience and religion. Now, that is not the issue. The issue in Australia and indeed throughout the Western world is this question of the manifestation of your religious beliefs. That is, to make public what it is that you believe and to live in accordance with those beliefs. And that is the area you have challenged today. Whether we say it's in a political order or in a social order is irrelevant in one sense. It goes to the very heart of what we say is the dignity of the individual, and that is to live in accordance with their fundamental beliefs. One thing that is very poorly understood by lawmakers and the courts generally is that when a person adopts a religious belief in a serious way, it becomes part of the person. The person accepts the obligation that they will live in accordance with those beliefs and therefore live in accordance in a way that they say is the pathway to heaven. Those fundamental questions that we often hear. And the Blessed John Paul, he put it best in his encyclical Fides et Ratio, that is, Faith and Reason, when he says that the one unifying thing that unites all cultures and humanity generally is those central questions of who am I, where am I going, what am I doing here in life, and why is there evil? He asked those questions as a matter that every person in their private moment wants to know the answers for. And every person engages in a search, and in a search for truth. And it's that search for truth which is what religious liberty is all about. The person who says, I want to find why I am here, and if there is a God, and I want to live in accordance with the rules of that God, then those rules will lead me to life after death. And therefore comes the big conflict. Those people who say you should not believe in religion, and those people who say, but I wish to live in religion, and I should be able to reconcile my life with your life. You choose not to believe, that's perfectly okay. But I choose to believe, and that should be okay according to you. And therefore, what can we do to reconcile it? Well, what the courts have been doing in the Western world, taking their lead from politicians who in Parliament prescribe laws. And in Australia, as indeed in England and in Canada and in the United States and New Zealand, the laws which are giving us the most trouble around the anti-discrimination laws. It is those laws that continue to say, yes, you can continue to believe, and provided you have a religious purpose for your belief, then you will be exempted from discrimination. But that's not how it works. That's a nice, easy language that politicians adopt with great respect, I should say. One of the things I might say, and I say this after many, many years of public involvement, and I'm free to say this because I belong to no political party quite deliberately. In order that I can work both sides, or people associated with the Ambrose Centre can work both sides, because on one occasion, one political party will be the government of the day, on another occasion, the different party will be the government of the day. And we need to have the ability to work across the field. And it's working across the field that we come against this issue that most politicians do not fully understand, this concept of discrimination. What has been proposed at the moment in the consolidation of the anti-discrimination laws by this current federal government is that they say we want everybody to have access to being free from discrimination. They tell us that they will introduce two new, what they call, attributes in law. That is, attributes that if you possess an attribute, you cannot be discriminated against that, such as a disability, such as a political view, such as your race or your colour. They are all attributes that they claim. Well, the two new attributes that the federal parliament wants to, or the federal government wishes to introduce into this national anti-discrimination law, one is called gender identity. The other one is sexual orientation. Both are pernicious. Both are absolutely revolting if you analyse what it means. Gender identity is it doesn't matter whether you are male or female today or wish to be a male or female tomorrow. Whatever identity you wish to declare to yourself and declare publicly shall not be discriminated against. Therefore, society is told that you can have a genderless society. Secondly, the question of sexual orientation. Clearly, the anti-discrimination laws have been a major vehicle for the promotion of a homosexual agenda. I mean, let's not kid ourselves. We accept that that's what it is, and they are individuals, incidentally, also born of the same God as you and I, and are entitled to the same respect. That is not the issue of their sexuality. The issue is the homosexual activity and acts. That is the issue and should be discerned when we discuss these things in public forums. The enemy is not homosexuality. It's the homosexual acts and activities. And the anti-discrimination laws have been a very good vehicle for the promotion of a homosexual agenda. Now, it's the promotion of a homosexual lifestyle, which is the equivalent of the activity. Thus, we oppose it. And what's been said is that sexual orientation should be a protected attribute. Therefore, the protected attribute is not only whether I am attracted to the same sex or to the opposite sex, but it also means that I can have a particular view that I like both sexes at any one time. And therefore, if I like both sexes, that is, I can be bisexual today or tomorrow, you cannot in any way discriminate against me. Or I can belong to a group, which I was privileged to read their article on Friday, mind you. I'm not sure if I was privileged or suffering, but nonetheless, I read the article from the Polyamorist, which have an organised group that simply say that homosexual marriage should not be confined to one partner. Neither should heterosexual marriage. The part of a sexual orientation is that I can enjoy different people at any time, inside or outside of marriage. And therefore that ought to be protected. Now this is a sexual orientation which does not come across for what it really is, but comes across as a means of saying respecting somebody else's viewpoint. But what it's doing is opening up in a whole new field where people are protected and you are powerless to do anything about it. Now, I'm just going to try and stick within your framework of 15 minutes and tell you of two cases to illustrate the point. Just several weeks ago, the Ambrose Centre was in fact invited by the Victorian Court of Appeal, the Supreme Court of Appeal, to make a brief in a case called CABLE. Now, CABLE is an acronym for a wider organisation that under the previous state Labor government received funding to assist young people who were having difficulties with their sexuality. Or, if they had discovered their sexuality, how they could mix in the community and cope with the violence that constantly comes their way, it is alleged. CABLE rang up this organisation at Phillip Island in the southern part of Victoria, asked to hire out a resort camp that they had for the weekend. The resort camp was operated by the Christian Brethren organisation, who are a Christian group. And in the course of the conversation, the Christian Brethren organisation discovered that this was really about the promotion of homosexual lifestyle. And they wanted to use the facilities of the Christian Brethren for a weekend in order to achieve their purpose. The Christian Brethren declined on the ground that it would be inconsistent with their teaching. Well, that led to an anti-discrimination claim. It led to a case in the Victorian Civil and Administrative Tribunal where a judge presided over the hearing, and the judge made a finding against the Christian Brethren. Now, put that aside, that doesn't matter. On the ground, by the way, of sexual preference and sexual orientation, what the judge said, that the sexual orientation was part of a person. Therefore, homosexuality is part of the person and they should be allowed to live in accordance with that particular orientation, and criticise the Christian Brethren because they did not abide by the law. They discriminated against the very attribute of what constitutes the person, which incidentally is incorrect, which incidentally is not supported by medical evidence nor medical science. Nonetheless, what the judge also went on to say is that because this constituted discrimination, you, the Christian Brethren, can no longer believe what you do. Therefore, you, the Christian Brethren, can no longer believe that sex outside of marriage is morally wrong. And if you do believe it in your own house. Don't say it publicly. That was the effect of what Justice Hampel said in her judgment. Now, we made a submission, went to the Victorian Court of Appeal, was heard for 2 days, we haven't had the decision yet, but one of the points we made was precisely that. We said the judge failed to understand that a person who adopts a religious belief and lives in accordance with that religious belief does so as part of a person. That constitutes who that person is. And to deny that person the right to live in accordance with those beliefs is coercive. That is to use the law as an instrument in order to force people to comply to what the state wants. We heard Dominic say before about the separation of church and state. That is not a separation of church and state. That is bringing the state into the religion and dictating how the religion shall perform. Now, the second point I just want to raise to you, and it's of a similar nature, and Dominic did refer to it in a passing way, was the case of the Leeds Catholic Diocese, that is in the UK, involving adoption services for same-sex couples. What the Catholic Church in Leeds did said that it was contrary to their religious belief, and they sought an exemption from the equality law, which is the same as our discrimination law. In the first instance, the court said no. the court said you can't have the exemption because homosexuality is perfectly okay. The law recognises that homosexual couples can make good parents, therefore they should be invited into your list of people. The Catholic Church then appealed that. It went to the High Court, which is the equivalent of our High Court. And in the High Court, eventually, these courts said, no, the issue of sexuality must triumph over your religious beliefs. So there's another case. What the state is really saying via the court, you cannot have that belief in public. You cannot exercise that belief. You can't live in accordance with those beliefs. And what the Catholic Church did, just withdrew from all of the adoption services. They do not perform any of the works. Now, it's in the performance of these works that you really show who you are and what you are. That is the instrument of conversion. That is the instrument by example. And what we're saying in the Ambrose Centre, we are active in this area of both the law and both society, because culture is affected every time there's a law and there's a compromise in the administration of that law or in the interpretation of that law, which diminishes the right of people to live in accordance with who they are and what they believe, the lesser society is served. Thank you very much.
That was Rocky Mima with The Law and Religious Freedom. For more talks from Reasons for Hope 2013, visit cradio.org.au.